Hey guys, welcome to the Human Podcast Machine. This is He Taz, and I want to thank you for downloading this edition of the show. In this, we're going to have frontman, lead singer of Lamb of God, man. Heavy metal jazz stuff. Not jazz, but you get my point when I say jazz. Heavy metal, groove, metal style rock dude. He's got a crazy story you guys got to hear. I mean, a sad but true story, pun not intended, in regards to Metallica on that. But so that's going to come up in this edition, hence you knew this while you downloaded it. Lamb of God frontman, also a tremendous Taz tale, where the one and only Hall of Famer Mick Foley will actually be part of the Taz tale. It's a great, great story. But before we get into it, pay attention. So listen, boys, Mother's Day is this Sunday. You need to pick up the pace right now and take care of either your mom, your grandmother, your girlfriend, your wife, your fiance, your sister, whoever is the key mom in your world. You need to get on this, and Pro Flowers, my boys at Pro Flowers, going to take care of you, and I got an amazing offer for my listeners. 100 blooms with a free glass vase for just $19.99, guys. $19.99, under $20, 100 blooms and a free glass vase, and you can make it even extra special for her with a special upgrade to the premium vase and add chocolates for just another $9.99. Go to proflowers.com today. Use my code TAZ, that's Taz. Use that code, get yourself a nice discount. 100 blooms, free glass vase for just $19.99. And click the blue microphone in the top right corner, type in T-A-Z, take care of your mama on Mother's Day, and check this out. Order today, man, because this offer expires this Friday at midnight.
From the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, New York,
the former three-time world heavyweight champion.
Lee, if you can survive, if I let you.
Dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome!
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition. Love this reaction show
for the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
All right, welcome, boys and girls. Here we are, the Human Podcast Machine coming at you. I am Taz, and thank you again, as I said in the cold open, for downloading and or subscribing to my show. I do truly appreciate it. Thank you very much. Great response to the show we just dropped about the Mayweather-Pacquiao boxing spectacle that happened over the weekend. I'll get into that in a little bit. I want to bring Seth in a few seconds. He's a boxing expert, kind of, but he knows his boxing, so we'll get Seth's POV, that's a point of view, on the old boxing deal we saw, and the stuff he heard me say about it in my HPM podcast about my reaction to that. Also, in this episode, a great interview we're going to have live in studio with the frontman, lead singer, as I said, Randy Blythe of Lamb of God, man. Groove metal, heavy duty metal stuff. This guy's got an insane story. He's going to tell what happened to him in his career. Some of you probably know about it already. I want you to hear it from Randy himself. So looking forward to having Mr. Blythe sitting right here with yours truly in a little while here in this episode. So that should be cool. Also, a Taz tale. It's a loaded show, dude. Seth, this is a loaded show we got here. Loaded.
What else is new?
I know. Well, the Taz tale is going to be huge.
You don't take a day off.
No, I don't, bro. I can't, because you guys are whipping me. It's like I feel like I'm working in a sweatshop, for God's sakes.
That's the coolest part of my job is I get to tell you what to do. Not really.
Yeah,
I don't really
kind of. But it is a sweatshop because it's hot as hell in the studio. Why? Did they pay the AC bill?
You know, always trying to cut a dime, a quarter here or there.
Easy for you to say. Okay, anyway, so.
Was that some kind of Jewish joke?
No. I think your tongue just fell out of your face. So, yeah, I was talking about this Taz tale, dude. You've got a crazy Taz tale where it's the first time ever someone else will be incorporated in the Taz tale, and Hall of Famer himself, the legendary hardcore legend, Hall of Famer, former champ, WWE champ, the man himself, Mick Foley, will be in this edition of Taz Tales. You got to listen to the story about Mick that him and I are going to tell. It's pretty funny. I know you heard it already, Seth. Don't stooge it off.
All I was going to say is I'm not going to give anything away, but you will laugh.
It's good stuff. So it's a loaded show, but so look, man, let's talk real quick about the fight, right? So by the way, you're looking really gruffy. You're looking really, you look seedier than normal.
Oh, cool. Going for that, yeah.
Well, you do. I mean, you're looking, I mean, thank God we're not using video right now for people to see you.
Hey, some chicks like that, you know what I mean? My lady's happy. She's all right.
So yeah, no, I hear good. You. I hear you. I'm just saying, you look a little seedy. You look a little rough.
Yeah, you got a little something going on over there, too.
Well, because I had to run out of the house early this morning, and it might be a great opportunity to talk about, you know, my homeboys over at Harry's, because I didn't get a chance to shave.
That was good. People are going to think we planned that.
No, we didn't plan it. We actually didn't plan it. Well, people know. I mean, on my Twitter, people are tweeting about Harry's a lot, and they're tweeting their personal shave kit photos of it, and they're saying they use my code. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. I know you use my code already, Seth, because you marked out for the Harry's thing. You got your three blades, your shaving cream, your handle, free shipping, all of that. Months worth of shaving under $10. You got $5 off your starter set. Of course, you use TAZ at checkout. You use my code, right?
Duh.
You always use me. That's the problem.
I'm a user.
You're always using me. But Harry's loves my listeners because we're getting a great response, and I'm a big supporter of Harry's. I mean, it's great stuff, German-engineered blades, and I'm a big fan of Harry's, and it seems like a lot of you guys listening are. So give it check it out if you haven't, I should say, at harrys.com. Type in TAZ at checkout. You get $5 off your starter set and a month's worth of shaving for under $10. You can't beat that. Seth, you need to get on that. Let me talk to you about this weekend. So where'd you watch the fight? Who was with you? What'd you do? Give me the breakdown.
I went to my aunt's house. You know, I gave you background without telling everybody else. My family's big boxing
fans.
I ignored you,
so tell me again.
My family are big boxing fans. My grandfather had 200 fights, professional fights. My stepfather died
a couple years ago. You didn't tell me that part. Your grandfather was a fighter?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Bouncing Benny Levine. Look out.
Nothing like a tough—I don't want to be racist, but he's a tough Jewish man.
I'll tell you something, one of his most famous fights is he knocked some German out cold. Yeah, unconscious. Wow. Yeah, he was a badass, and he fought to feed his family. It wasn't like today where he's like, you know, flashing. He wasn't driving any fancy cars.
Well, I'd love to say the apple didn't fall far from the tree, but it did.
Yeah, it did. Very far, extremely far. So you know, I was with my mom, my aunt, a couple other people. I would not have paid for this fight, and we'll get into this as we talk about the fight, you know. But that's who I watched the fight with. My aunt's got a nice, huge TV, you know.
Right. And, she got a rear projection?
No.
I'm sorry. I had to do it. It was easy. It was a layup.
Nah.
So, look, but you follow the game. You follow the fight game big time. And
I do.
And, what I mean, you heard my podcast about it. You produced it, so you obviously heard it. Unless you just fast forward to when I talk,
I did listen to it, okay. And I agree with you. No, and I think you said something in your podcast about how you think boxing fans might not like what you're saying, but I don't think that's the case. I think boxing fans know that the sport's a little bit broken, and there is some definitely.
It's in the mud, dude. It's right. Old, like it's in quicksand. You know what I mean? Like it seems archaic. You know, it's just the way they think. It's a dinosaur. You know, and I use the baseball analogy. Like baseball, at least is trying. Look, baseball's slow. And people, look, baseball's still big, but the attendance gates down because it's expensive, obviously. And it's boring. It's become boring. I've said it on several different shows here on HPM. My son was a heavy-duty travel baseball player and when he was younger and just rapidly transitioned to another sport where there was more energy and excitement for him because he was bored. You know?
I mean, I can understand that.
So what I'm saying is I'm not railing on, well, I guess I am railing on baseball. I'm railing on everything. But baseball, at least, what do? They got instant replay, right? And the manager comes to the mound and they take a trip. It's got to be quicker, right?
Batter's box, they did a couple of rules this year, too. Yeah. Every year they look at it a little better.
Pick up the pace a little bit, right?
Got to make adjustments.
And that's America's pastime, baseball. So who the hell is boxing? Boxing has been around forever also. Change some of these archaic rules. Pick up the game. Pick up the fight. I said it. I watched the opening, the featherweight championship match with the Russian kid.
Lomachenko. Yeah.
Kid's great.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other kids, the Rodriguez is low-blowing him. The guy's holding him. And all they're doing is these two young guys that are in great shape are complaining. Because let them fight it out. And then you jump fast forward to the main event. What's your opinion on that? I thought Pacquiao was the aggressor. If you're watching UFC, the aggressor in a decision wins the fight.
It's a different sport, though. For people,
but that's the point. Yes. It is a different sport, but I'm not saying
so
I'm right.
You're saying you think Pacquiao should have won the fight?
That's a stretch. What I'm saying is I think the way they did their points, and that's a good question, and
I think it was far apart. I don't remember the numbers.
Yeah, 8-4, 9-3, rounds wise.
So it's kind of far apart, right? So I think it should have been judged or whatever.
This is a predictable fight, and I told you what was going to happen before the fight. Did I not?
Well,
I
so did the announcers. Yeah. The announcers throughout the fight, what turns going to be a decision, basically. The whole thing's a work. I don't care what anybody says.
Anyone who has watched Pacquiao's fights and Mayweather's fights knew what was going to happen. Pacquiao was made for Mayweather. He's ultra-aggressive, and Mayweather's a counterpuncher, and he's going to move. Mayweather also looked a little dirty in the fight, I have to say. But he does what he has to do to win. That's why Mayweather is such an over-the-top personality. That's how he sells the fights, because his fights are not exciting. I would not have paid for this fight. I wouldn't even gone to watch it if it wasn't with my family.
I'm a mark. Yeah. I did.
Yep. Well, it was a big event for people who are casual boxing fans like yourself. Oh, this is the big one. Oh, Manny's going to knock out Mayweather, this and that. Real boxing fans, no offense.
You know who I watched the fight with? I got this big house, big-ass TV.
You're by yourself.
I was by myself, yeah.
You're kind of a loner, a rebel.
Yeah, I was by myself. And my son went to his one of his teammates' house. They had a bunch of the guys in his team watch the fight together.
You wanted to go with them?
They were a bunch of bunch of teenagers don't want me with them. You know that. And so they had a bunch of wings and burgers, sliders. One of the parents catered it at some big house. I don't know. And they got hooked up. They watched the fight. I mean, he had practice the next morning. He got up. He made practice. He did pretty good actually.
Nice.
But at least he did that part. No, but I watched the fight all by myself. I mean, it's like I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I'm watching this. I just dropped this money. I got no friends. That's obvious. I'm looking around the house. I don't even have a dog. I got nothing. I don't have a fish. I don't have a freaking bird. I got nothing. I'm sitting there like a jerk on a Saturday night. And then I had no beer in the fridge. I should have contacted delivery.com. I don't want to get into that. But
that's a whole other story.
That's a whole other. And I didn't. But anyway, I should have. But I had no beer. I had two beers in the fridge. I had Bonington. You ever had this?
No.
It's from England, I think. And
fancy.
They've been in my garage refrigerator for a long time. I didn't realize. Wow, these things would be nice and cold.
Skunked?
Yeah. And I dumped the friggin' thing.
That's nothing worse than skunked
beer. I thought there was a little miscommunication between my wife and I. We had some brew in the house, and we didn't. So that's a big flag on my house right there. That's my fault, not my wife's. I would never blame her, especially with Mother's Day around the block. So I want to ask you a question. Do I think Pacquiao should have won the fight? As far as pure aggression, I guess if I'm looking at it, if I was a UFC judge, yeah. I mean, I thought he was the more of aggressive guy. It didn't seem like either guy gave a shit about this. Okay, both guys at the end of the fight, if I'm dropping $100, and all these people dropping $100, you have people in the audience dropping $10,000, whatever the hell it is, on tickets, $20,000. Someone needs to have a little color, as we say in the business. A little blood, a black eye, a swollen cheek, a tooth missing. These guys look like they walked into Ferragamo and bought some shoes their millions.
You know what would have been different?
Have no idea what Ferragamo is, do you?
It's a brand.
What kind of brand? What do they sell?
I guess I don't know what they sell.
Shoes, bro. Shoes. Fancy shoes. Yes. Fancy.
I get my shoes.
Vince McMahon-esque shoes. Ooh. That's what they sell. Yes.
Yeah. Jazz. Okay.
Not Vince Ferragamo. You remember him, right?
Oh, quarterback, Rams.
That's right. Yeah, good job. Boom. There you go. There you go.
Don't mess. Yeah. No Google. I got nothing in front of me.
Yeah, Google. You Google.
You know what would have made a big difference in the fight? Winner take all. You never see that happen.
I like that.
No sense of urgency. Like a couple fights ago, Mayweather fought Maidana. I actually bought that fight, and Maidana put up a good fight. It was actually Mayweather stood and fought with him for a change, and it was a good fight. Rematch, but they mailed it in. Maidana's like, oh, cool, I cashed in, thanks. And these guys like Pacquiao think they won the fight because they didn't get hurt. Right. But in boxing, it's scoring. They both threw the same amount of punches, and Mayweather landed twice as many. I mean,
it's a work. They know. The guys in the ring know, man. I don't care what anybody says. And again, like I said in the podcast, the reaction of Mayweather Pacquiao, I'm an old school wrestling guy. To me, everything's a work. So, if there's that much money on the line, we've always said in wrestling years ago, I don't know, this new generation of wrestlers probably don't say it, but a lot of us have said, look, boxing has been a work just as long as wrestling. The only thing is boxing hides it much better. And that's a shoot. I mean, so I feel if there's that much money being spent or being gambled on and that, you know, the odds and all this jazz and Vegas and all this stuff and sports books and whatnot, look, the crooked nose folks are involved. Okay, so this, I don't care what anybody says. So that's just my opinion. But I think that if you look at pure aggression, now a lot of people are saying that Pacquiao was not the aggressor in the fight. I mean, do you agree with that or?
No sense of urgency. Like you got.
You don't think so, huh?
No, I don't. You got to pull out all the stops. I mean, I don't know if you remember when Victor Ortiz fought Mayweather and he headbutted him, and then Mayweather knocked him out. At least he tried to attack
him. He did attack. Yeah,
like,
you
don't grab him, throw. I mean, it's boxing does get dirty. So, you know, Mayweather fought dirty. Get a little dirty with him. You know, push him in the corner.
Yeah, I think that's fine. He kept front headlocking him incorrectly.
And he was squeezing it, too.
He was. Yeah. I mean, so I don't know, man. What'd you think about my tweet, bro? You didn't put it over. I said, you know, Pacquiao's got that shit-eating grin on because his wallet's tickling his ass.
I saw it after. It's hilarious. It's true.
I popped myself.
Yeah, how upset. You know, I go on vacation. I thought I won the fight. I'm going on vacation. Bye-bye. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, great. See you later. You know? Hey, take care. That's why I jumped out of my seat when Pacquiao got knocked out cold. It was the best thing I've ever seen in boxing.
Wow, you got heat with Pacquiao.
I do.
God damn.
Well, I don't know. Really? I don't know if I can allow to say what I think, but I won't, you know. But I digress.
Don't get crazy.
I think, you know, I think
did you just almost say you digress?
I digress. What's your show?
No, but you can't say that.
Seth Rollins gets to say it whenever he wants.
I don't know Seth Rollins. I've never met the young man, and when I see him, I'm going to say, why are you stealing my gimmick? No. I know Seth Rollins said that. It was funny when he said it because I got a bunch of tweets like, he said I digress. Apparently, I'm not the only one who says I digress, and I never invented the word, folks. So, and someone would tweet, and I believe it, that Jim Cornette says a lot in his podcast, so I guess I didn't invent it. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess I didn't. I didn't think I did, but I say it sometimes. And now I got to, truth be told, when I do say it, I'm joking. I'm not really saying it. My wife says, why do you say a lot of times in your show you digress? I said, I don't say it a lot. I say it maybe once or twice.
It stands out.
And we got to a fight over it, and she won. So.
Nice.
Shocking. Let me take care of a little business right here, bro. You know, another thing you need to fix besides your face, because your face is screwed up, is your wardrobe. You dress like a bum, bro. I got to be honest.
Come on.
You dress like a stiff.
I'm really? In a hot studio with a
hot host.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you who's going to help you out, though. My homeboy's over at Baumfeld, brother. You know, I'll tell you what. Personal styling service. Seth, what's better than that? Your own stylist to help you look great. They can even help a guy like you. I'm telling you.
I need it.
Yeah. Well, I got you covered, bro. I'm telling you. As guys, we hate to shop. You know that. But we love to look good in our daily lives. So Baumfeld is a way to help you do that. All you got to do is give these guys your height, your weight, your measurements, and places you like to shop. Set up your budget, how much you want to spend for these items, and then they just send you the stuff, man. It's awesome. You could pause or cancel anytime, no question asked. They send you the stuff right to your doorstep, and whatever you keep, you pay for. The stuff you return, you don't pay for. They cover all shipping and returns, no hidden kind of fees, no gimmicks. You just pay for the clothes that you keep. It's a great deal. You got to go check it out. You got 10 days to try on the clothes you receive at your doorstep. You keep what you like. You return the rest, like I said. That's it. No gimmicks. So go to Baumfell. That's Baumfell.com/Taz. Baumfell.com/Taz. And put your wardrobe on autopilot. Make sure you use my code. You get yourself a nice little hookup. T-A-Z at Baumfell.com. So... boom. Yeah, so you need it. Oh, you do. Because you dress like a stiff. I'm telling you.
Why are you crushing me now?
Well, because...
I have to say this on the air.
Well, I've been holding it in for months. Look, let's be honest. I made you here. I made you a star, bro. I mean, you're over on Twitter. I heard there's a new Seth fan page.
Wait.
What are we saying?
Thanks, Mom. My mom's great online. She's great. The computer.
Yeah, there's a new Seth fan page. Watch, someone's going to make that Twitter. I want someone to make Seth the Jobber. Wait, what is your nickname again?
I'm the Kung Fu Jew.
Yeah, no, we changed.
You said Kung Fu Jobber.
Yeah, Kung Fu Jobber. Seth the Kung Fu Jobber. Someone please make that Twitter page, and let's start a fan Kung Fu Jobber for Seth page. It's great stuff. You need the Wu-Tang Clan to do all your music.
I like that.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm excited to have Randy Blythe in the studio here. I mean, it's going to be pretty cool. I know you're a big music guy. You've interviewed a lot of music guys over your career.
I have.
What's the biggest music act you've interviewed?
Gene Simmons, probably.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
I had a little song I used back in the day. What the heck was it called when I used to go to the ring to wrestle? Gene Simmons was involved with it, but little band called Kiss.
You had a Kiss song?
Yeah, I think so.
Better watch out.
Yeah, that would be it. War Machine, baby. Yeah. So Gene Simmons, he must have been a pretty cool dude.
He was busting my balls. It's funny, to the point where like I had to like talk back to him, which I would never do.
Right. Well, you are a tough guy. Look, your grandfather's beat up Mike Tyson, you said back in the day, right?
Something like that, yeah.
That's great. So yeah, Gene Simmons, so when he's doing the interview, like his tongue, because he got that long tongue, hit the microphone. Like, what happened with that?
He was chasing around interns around our office.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking. Yeah.
And someone asked him to sign his book. He said $5.
No, he didn't.
He did.
He was ribbing, right?
Yeah, he's ribbing.
All right. Well, we're going to have Randy Blythe from Lamb of God. He's going to come in here in a little bit. It's going to be great. And I said, I'm telling you, I can't wait, Seth, for people to see their response to this Taz tale. I'm really looking forward to people, their response to this on Twitter with Mick Foley. It's going to be great. What are you laughing at?
I'm thinking about the Taz tale. I almost gave away a line.
Yeah, don't give it away. Don't give it away. Yeah, so.
I had to bite my tongue.
By the way, speaking of Mick Foley, I caught his deal on WWE Network. I don't know if you saw that. His Cheap Pops, his stand-up. It's great, man. It's not, and Mick says it a lot during the show, like, it's not a stand-up routine. He's not sitting there telling jokes. He talks a lot about himself, and you can see, you know, he doesn't take himself seriously, and anybody who knows Mick, that's the way he is. But he gets involved with his family a lot in the show. It's very funny. I highly suggest for you guys to go on WWE Network, including you, Seth, check it out. Cheap Pops. It's pretty cool stuff. He's funny, man.
I had it on for a second. It started cutting out, so I was like, I have to get back to it.
What do you mean it started cutting out?
I don't know. I have some issues with it.
I never have a problem with this network.
Yeah.
I swear to God, it always works perfectly.
Maybe because I'm on Wi-Fi. I don't know. Are you on Wi-Fi? Are you doing it?
Wi-Fi.
You plugged in.
No, I have an extension cord that goes from my moat on Long Island right to Internet Explorer. It's this long,
to
fat
Stanford.
Cord.
It goes to Stanford.
Stanford, yeah. That's right. Yeah. It goes right there, from across the country. But oh no, Stanford, Connecticut.
Yeah,
I think you said Stanford University because that's where Internet Explorer is at Stanford.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, I'm lying. Right. that's why you didn't know, because it's a lie. Yeah, no, because right to Stanford, right to the studio, WWE Studios. I have this big extension cord, and it's like it powers up. It's unbelievable. It's great stuff. You gotta see it.
I'll do that.
But you should check out Cheap Pops.
You're never gonna invite me over.
No, I'm not. I don't invite anyone over. Hence the fight. Watch the fight by myself. You know what I mean? That basically kind of explains it all. So we're going to take a quick break in a second here. Before we do that, I got to take care of a little business. But remember, we got Lamb of God frontman, lead singer, Randy Blythe coming up. I want to talk to you about Mack Weldon. You love 20% off, don't you?
I'm Jewish.
Thank you. So 20% off anything to me is the bomb. I love it. Mack Weldon has the highest quality of undershirts, socks, and underwear, Seth. Underwear. You're a big fan of underwear.
I don't wear underwear.
So, Commando. Too
no,
much
I,
info.
I do.
Well, anyway, not many dudes are fans of walking up to a register, right, and purchasing underwear. You know what I mean? It's a little embarrassing. It's a personal thing. So MarkWeldon.com is going to help you with this high-quality stuff, from boxer briefs to trunks, undershirts. They're all legit. I got my stuff. I got the starter kit from them, which was a crew neck undershirt, trunk style underwear, okay, striped socks, big mark for striped socks. I know people are shocked to hear that. A signature bag included. Make sure you go to MackWeldon.com, promo code TAZ. Get 20% off your order. Make sure you type in that promo code TAZ, and then boom, you get 20% off. Again, that's MackWeldon.com. We will be right back.
Look, I gotta go take a break right now. Hold on, wait. You're not. Are you crying? Are you actually crying? There's no crying in podcasting. Get yourself a tissue. I'll be right back.
So let me get this straight. It's May, and your fantasy baseball team's already in the toilet. Well, look, don't sit back there and second-guess yourself. Get back in the game and check out DraftKings.com, America's favorite daily fantasy baseball site, where you can win huge cash prizes every day. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, no slogging through long season to collect your winnings, just instant cash, instant gratification. It's like a new season every time you play. Simply pick two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to a massive payday. In fact, last year, Peter from Colorado won $1 million at DraftKings in one day just by playing fantasy baseball. That is nuts. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in huge at DraftKings. Now it's up to you, dude. Check it out. Hurry to DraftKings.com. Enter my promo code TAZ. That's Taz. TAZ to play for free. You can be part of a $300 million in cash and prizes awarded to you this season. That's nuts. Use the promo code TAZ for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. All right, we are back on the Human Podcast Machine. This is He Taz, and thanks for jumping on, as I said, and dealing through the break. And
Well, he's here live in the studio with yours truly, Randy Bly, man, from Lamb of God, the front man, the lead singer in the house. What's up, bro?
Chilling, man. How are you?
Chilling good, buddy. Good, man. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to get in this interview about all the stuff you're doing, from your photography to your book coming out, potential tour stuff with Lamb of God. We'll get into that stuff, but... Yeah, you're just chilling out, man. So you were living in Richmond still? I know you're from Richmond. Okay, good.
Yeah, man.
Born and raised, right?
Actually born in Fort Meade, Maryland, and then raised in like little tiny town called Franklin, Virginia.
Franklin.
And also Wilmington, North Carolina. Beach. Like
cool.
Riceville Beach area.
That whole area is just chill. I'm familiar with it.
That's how we do.
And I'm like, oh, I'm a Brooklyn guy.
No, it's all right, man. I start yelling soon.
It's good. I love yelling. Woo! Dude, I've watched you perform. And yeah, it's a whole different type of metal. So I have a lot of my fans that are fans of Lamb of God and your music.
Right.
And they're also metal fans or rock and roll fans.
Sure.
Maybe explain the difference between your style, Lamb of God's. That style's a little bit different, like groove. Like, it's a little different, right? I mean... like a Metallica type of thing.
I mean,
you know?
There's definitely like influences from the thrash, old school thrash, like Metallica, Slayer, all that stuff. And people use the word groove metal. I guess that's like kind of talking about Pantera mostly.
Okay.
All mod at Pantera.
So I should have said groove, basically.
No.
I feel bad.
Man, say whatever the fuck. Can we cuss?
You just did. Yeah, you can cuss.
Yeah, sorry.
It's all
say,
good.
Say whatever what the fuck you want.
That's cool. Yeah, I just...
No, man. I mean, that's just kind of a term that people came up with. When we started, it didn't exist. Maybe it did. Maybe they used it to call Pantera that and a couple other bands. I don't know. We're just metal, you know?
Yeah,
aggressive metal.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is. And for those that don't know, it's cool. I mean, I was never a musician. My brother was, he was keyboard, but, you know, more traditional stuff. But I was always into music for all my years of training to be a wrestler.
Sure.
You know, I would listen to some heavy stuff and then classic like Led Zeppelin, that kind of stuff, obviously. But, you know, different style here.
I looked at your playlist and what you walked out to, some Anthrax and some some aggressive shit.
Look at this guy. Well, back in the day, I had War Machine. Kiss was like my big intro. So I'm very flattered. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah,
looking at my playlist. See that, Seth? He's looking at my playlist.
I'm interviewing you now.
You're doing a better job than me interviewing you.
What's your favorite song to walk out to? War Machine? Was that it?
War Machine was probably, my favorite. Yeah. And then when I went to WWE, you are actually interviewing me. This is great. Then when I went to WWE, Cypress Hill, those dudes.
Oh, yeah, sure. Be Real.
Yeah, Be Real. They did
a song.
Don't
ever hang out with him at the Rainbow.
I've heard.
You won't remember leaving.
I know.
Shout out to Dougie and Russell and all those out there in L.A. at the Rainbow.
Yeah, so you got some stories, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, yes, far too many.
Yeah, man. Well, remember that song they did, Rock Superstar, back in the day?
Yeah, sure.
They did a kind of a spin-off of that called Thug Superstar with WWE for me.
Right.
And it was kind of cool because I was a fan of that song and them. So
Where exactly are you from? You aren't from Virginia.
No. No. I'm from...
y'all ain't from around here.
I'm from Norwalk, Virginia. No. I'm from South Brooklyn, Red Hook, Brooklyn, and then Northern Queens. I'm a New York guy. You know what I mean?
Brooklyn.
Yeah. So, bro, let me ask you. I would touch on this because I talked about it in the open before you got here.
A little bit
about this crazy thing that happened, an unfortunate accident in
tragic.
The Czech Republic, a tragic 2012, right? It was. Maybe you get into it a little bit. People might want to hear if they didn't. Just a little bit you could talk about if you want.
I mean, I wrote a book coming out July 14th.
Dark Days.
Dark Days.
Yeah, I like the name.
Bastille Day. It's coming out on that day.
All right.
And, you know, there was a tragic incident in which Lamb of God played the Czech Republic in 2010, right? And we came back in the summer of 2012. And the show, we didn't remember much about 2010 show. We showed up 2012, 2 years later. We get off the plane. We flew from Norway. Get off the plane, walk to the end of the runway, and there's five dudes with, like, machine guns and face masks and big pointy knives. And they look like they were there to get Bin Laden or something.
Yeah.
Full on. And then three big, like, Eastern Bloc dudes, like muscle dudes and a woman. And they said, "Are you David Blight?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And they handed me a sheet of paper. It said, "You're being charged with manslaughter for involved with the death of a fan at your previous show." We didn't know anything had gone wrong. So
how much time passed?
2 years. No one ever contacted us.
That's insane, dude.
So they carry me to jail and send me to the shrink, that was just really weird.
I can imagine.
I went and they said, okay, you know, eventually like $500,000 bail almost. And then I went to prison for 34 days.
Wow.
And then got out and then went back to trial and was found not guilty.
Well, thank God.
And
that's good.
And the whole thing was really tragic. I wrote a book about it.
Yep. Well, there it is. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. I could relate to a lesser extent, you know, right. As a performer also. Sure. We're both performers, right?
Sure,
so
sure.
I performed in a ring, you performed on a stage, right?
Sure.
So we've had guys over the years hit the ring, you know,
of
fans.
Course.
You know, they just try to get excited, and they
yes.
just want to be part of it, and maybe they're drinking or whatever. Or
yeah, that,
whatever.
A lot of times.
I'm sure with you guys,
yeah,
especially
yeah.
your style of music.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Part of the dancing, it's more aggressive.
Yeah, sure.
Right. So same with us. We're all aggression, right?
Right.
I mean, that's all.
Yeah.
It's a show, and entertainment, and I've had...
But athletes at the same time.
Correct. Yeah.
Very yes. much athletics.
Yes, athletics and some acting ability.
Right.
Bad acting, but you know what I'm saying. But anyway, so I've had usually teenagers.
Don't call Ric Flair bad.
No, no. Ric's one of the best.
Ric should win the
no.
Oscar
yeah, no.
for being the
well,
greatest.
You're from Richmond, so you probably saw a lot of cool wrestling back in the day.
Back in the day, that was Mid-Atlantic wrestling.
Of course.
I was in Blackjack Mulligan.
Yeah.
All that stuff. But anyway, continue.
No, but anyway, I was just saying, so fans would hit the ring. You know, mm-hmm. you'd have fans hit the ring. I mean, now not as much. Security is better at these shows,
sure.
you know what I mean? And, you know, and you defend the I. would have to defend myself at
sure.
times. I would work at these little, like, seedy bars or
sure.
back in the day, like,
you're
before
the
big arenas, you know?
The hay circuit.
Yeah, man, paying dues, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
back,
of course.
Years back.
Same as touring in a band.
Exactly. So, you know, they'd hit the ring, and they just want to be part of the thing, and it's like, once you get through those ropes, you're fair game, you know? Because
yeah.
now I got to defend myself.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that's, you know, never... as heavy as what happened. I know it was your, it was
right.
You probably just didn't know what was happening. You just when the person came at you, you just
it's all very confusing.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
And I go into it in the book.
Okay, so, yeah. Well, and that's coming out in July, Dark
yeah,
Days, right?
Yeah,
so yeah, that's going to be
July,
really So dude, you do everything. You kind of
so,
like this
but
what's up?
So like, yeah, people hit the ring, but I understand your feeling because your feeling of like I think it's probably even more aggressive for a professional wrestler to be in the ring. The energy from the audience, because if they don't like you, for instance, for my kid brother, I think he was turning like 10. My dad took me and him and our other brother to Hampton Coliseum.
Yeah.
To see the Rock and Roll Express versus.
Yeah, it was great.
Ivan Koloff.
Ivan Koloff. Yeah.
I don't know if Nikita was.
Nikita
there.
Might
was,
have been.
It was. It was only one of them, but it was a Rock and Roll Express versus.
Oh, singles match. Yeah.
Yeah. But
was it
they,
the younger Koloff or the older Koloff?
I can't remember.
Remember.
He was big.
Yeah. Well, they were big. Yeah.
He was big. But I remember being there in the Rock and Roll Express. You know, they're tag teaming out.
Sure.
And they're wrestling this guy. But they're little old ladies.
Oh.
Like sitting there in the ring, you know, eating their hot dog and their, you know, soda or beer or whatever.
Yeah,
they're like,
yeah.
Fucking kill him! You know? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know? They're like so pumped up. They're like, murder him! You know? And of course, there's
yeah.
the whole thing that, you know, he's from Russia. And so
yeah,
they're
of course.
Like,
yeah.
Communist! You know? It's like, oh my God, dude. These are like grandmothers. You
That's
know?
The deal, man. You're
like,
doing your job. You
I was
know?
Like, yeah, of course. Yeah, he's playing the heel.
Of course. Right. You know your stuff. I'm impressed.
I know a little
You know,
bit.
Even the wrestling.
I'm a huge Ric Flair fan.
Okay, everybody loves Ric. I mean,
well,
obviously.
Dude, you know. We have this thing where, you know, and I told Jericho to tell him this after Rick's son's passed, you know, his son passed a little while ago, and that bummed me out, you know, because I've had my issues with substances in the past.
Right,
I'm sober
right.
now, you
yeah.
know, so I saw Jericho in Germany, and I was like, look, I want you to tell Rick this, is that I make the crowd, like, I will make a crowd in any country, Japan, wherever in Europe, even if they don't understand English.
Right.
I'll make them go, woo! And at the end, we had these video screens, and there are these things where, like...
Like pyro mean? Or like
No. They're like full video
oh, like
screens,
full video, like,
and
yeah,
our
like
video
wall,
guy
yeah.
has this different footage of Flair.
Oh.
So, like, and it says, woo, across it, and, like, he'll press this button in time when I make the audience
oh, that's
go,
sick.
Woo! You know, and I've made people do it in like Thailand, cool. Japan, yeah, all over the world, and have all these people who have no fucking idea of what I'm talking about because they don't speak English. But I'm like, come on. You want to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Rick's a legend.
Right? You know?
He's a legend.
It feels good doing it.
Yeah, man. Rick's a legend, not just amongst locker rooms in our business, amongst, you know, he was the generation before my generation, right? And I'm older now, but I'm saying he's a legend worldwide, you know what I mean? He's so respected, and it's cool to see a guy like you with your success.
Have you read his book?
No, I have not. What's the matter with you? No, because you know what?
I'm a
retired wrestler. I'm busy. I don't read books, but look at me. I'm from Brooklyn.
Too busy suplexing.
Yeah, I'm suplexing dudes.
Dudes on the corner.
Yeah, exactly. You got me reading books. I'm running around. I'm interviewing people. I'm always scrambling. That's my gimmick.
I hear you.
Bro, you're like this total artist, though. I mean, you're a musician, photographer. You know, I mean, you kind of like, you got the whole vibe going on. As a kid, were you always that talented of a kid? You know what I mean? Like, did you know that stuff was in you? You're an author now? I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
I wanted to write. I always wrote. But, you know, all the stuff that has come about, like different music I've done. Like, I composed music for the Richmond Ballet. They did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like sort of, you know, ambient, sort of classical derived stuff. All that, the photography exhibit, the book, all that stuff, is stuff that even my band, I never said, I'm going to do this. Someone said, hey, do you want to do this?
Mm.
You know, like I'm in New York. I had a gallery opening this weekend.
I heard. Yeah. How'd it go? It was pretty fucking sick, awesome. Right? Yeah, good, man. Good for you.
And
good.
So, I mean, that just came to me because the gallery owner, I put photos on Instagram and he hit me on Instagram. He's like, do you want a gallery show? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a year ago, no clue of what that entailed.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Right?
a lot of work. I had never printed my work before, you know? So.
But how come I didn't come to this gallery thing, bro?
I don't know.
No, but I'm pretty good in the gallery, bro. I'm too busy suplexing guys in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you just said, right?
Yeah.
No, but I'm like a gallery guy. I'd be pretty good. If you could handle a gallery, bro, the way you are, I'm the same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it was awesome. And it was a real metal crowd. And the gallery owner was like, your crowd was like better behaved than.
Really?
Yeah, because there's what they call gallery bums. There's free booze.
Really? Well,
you know, people show up and get fucked up. And
that's my producer. He does. This guy here, Seth. He's that type of style.
A gallery bum?
Yeah.
You just cruise.
He's just a bum. He's just a bum.
Just a bum.
Seth, if you're going to talk, put a mic in your face, dude. You can't talk without a friggin' mic. Grab the mic.
So, you know, where there's free food, free drinks, you know. he knows my background. So.
He's not kidding.
Five kids, you know.
He's got like a million kids. Hey. Yeah, the guy's running around.
Hey. Cool.
Yeah, so now. You guys are probably going to go back on tour. That's the rumors. I didn't do a Slipknot thing. I know that.
Yeah, we're going on tour all July, Europe, and then we come home, and I'll be back to New York to do press for the book in July, and then sometimes toward the end of July, we go out as main support for Slipknot for a month and a half, I think.
That's cool, man. That's cool. So, so for you, you prefer to perform. It doesn't matter, right? Performing internationally, domestically. I mean, you as a performer, I'm saying.
I mean, dude, I mean, the crowds are the same.
Right.
That people are always like, what's the difference between a European crowd and an American crowd?
As wrestlers, you hear the same thing. Yeah.
And it's like nothing. For us, it's like, they have long hair and black t-shirts and tattoos.
Right,
in Japan, the crowds used to be a little, wrestled in Japan.
Yeah, that's why I want to talk to you about that. Yeah.
All right, and which I want to ask you about because their wrestling is off the fucking chain.
Yeah.
With fire explosions and barbed wire and all that shit.
Yeah.
So,
I've been there and done a lot of that.
I know.
Yeah.
So, but like in Japan, what it used to be before the advent of YouTube, because now they watch shows.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In Japan, when you play, and I'd heard about it, but I didn't really believe it until I experienced. You play, and we played the first time we played there. We played in front of 15,000 people at this festival Loud Park,
Tokyo, Osaka,
Tokyo, outside Chiba City, outside Tokyo. So we're playing there, and the way I'd been warned about this, but it's weird. In between songs, at any other show, people are like, at the end of the song, and then they scream and they're yelling shit at you that stuff, and it's like a party vibe. In Japan, 15,000 people, you play
nothing. It's the same with wrestling.
Dead silence. And I'm like, and they're showing respect.
Yeah.
They're not
being
rude, but it's fucking weird.
Dude, it's I'm glad you just told that, just said that, because it's the same thing as a wrestler, except during the friggin' match they do that. Mm. They're quiet. So I was
warned. They're watching.
They're watching. And they're all sitting there like this, and a lot of the men are in suits. The women are in nice clothes. The younger kids are dressed up where you wrestle in the States or in the UK. Yeah. A little bit different. Kids are kind of just like, you know, chilling like this.
Yeah.
And when you're wrestling, it's quiet. Yeah. And they kind of crescendo up towards the finish of the match when they feel the ending's coming, like the way you're telling your physical story.
Yeah.
And they start to build up. Then they start, if it's something, a big spot that happens physically in the ring, then they'll react and explode. Right. But it's usually they're very quiet. And as a performer in the ring wrestling, there's no adrenaline to feed off of. It's hard. Dude, it's hard. It's very hard, you know.
The first time we did that, man, we played and it's like dead silence. And I'm like...
What I do wrong? What I want. Right.
I mean, I'd been warned, but it was just freaky.
And as the frontman, as the lead singer, it's got to even be harder. Because you're there. You know.
Yeah, and everything. There was a big, long, you know, separation between us and the stage, and this was a while ago. I don't go in the audience anymore because of mishaps.
Yeah. Well, it's a good move.
I went to prison over audience performer stuff. So, but at that time, I'd still do a lot of stage dives, and we were playing and they were like, you know, stop. And it got really weird. So about the middle of the set, I jumped off the stage, ran, and there was like, I don't know, 20 feet between us and the barricade. And security is all watching the audience. And I put the mic down in the middle of a song, ran, jumped on the edge of the barricade, used the security guard as a booster, and jumped off the top of the barricade, did a flip into the audience. And security didn't know I was coming.
Like a lucha wrestler.
They were, I've done many flips. They were like, what the fuck? They were like totally freaked out and bummed out. And the Japanese crowd went nuts.
It
was a bad mistake because they had never seen anything like that. So the entire crowd went,
oh, really?
And like I went down,
and everybody was right there.
Everybody was right there, and they were all trying to get at me. And it was, I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. I felt like I was gonna get crushed. I was down for like 30 seconds. I couldn't breathe, they're all just screaming. And then finally, I'm like pointing upward, and I went boop, and I flew up in the air like you would hold like a cork underwater or something. I went popped up to the front, and they were like, ah! I mean, they went nuts, you know, because people didn't do that there.
Yeah.
But now with YouTube, like they've watched shows.
They see how to react as a fan.
They show, you know, the Japanese are masters at seeing something and then taking it and making it even better.
Sure.
Like wrestling.
Yep.
Like in a sense, they look at professional wrestling and they're like, okay, that's cool. Not brutal enough. So you're going to have crap blowing up and all sorts of stuff.
Well, they do from a cool perspective too. Wrestling in Japan is they do a lot of that hardcore violent stuff. Years ago they did. And now, because of the influence of MMA, they were a big part of Japanese pro wrestling was a huge part of the grassroots of MMA, some people don't realize that. So because
jiu-jitsu.
Of the jiu-jitsu and judo and the amateur style and technique of actual wrestling, they've mastered that there. You know, so they've been ahead of us, in my opinion, for years. Now, the WWE is different from a production standpoint and character development. You know, no one's better than them, obviously. You know, they have household name talent, obviously. So, but, you know, for you, so I owe you an apology because in the open, I was pronouncing your name wrong. I was saying Randy Blythe. So I'm sure your name gets screwed up. It's Randy Bly.
Yeah, the T-H-E is silent.
Yeah, again, I have a vernacular vocabulary grammar problem.
My name is weird. No one ever pronounces it right.
Yeah, see,
I've been called Blythe, Blithy, Blight, Blithy. Lot, like Blight. I'm a Blight.
You're Blight.
Land. You know, Black. Someone said Randy Black one time. Black. I'm like, how do you get that out of there? Sounds like a country star in it.
Randy Black
is here. Let me ask you a question. When you were in Japan, you wrestled Japanese dudes, right?
Yeah.
So,
I whooped one's ass once bad, bro. I got in trouble.
Without ruining this for anyone who doesn't know how wrestling works in a way.
I don't know how it works. Tell me. I'm joking. Okay.
But there's a communication you guys have.
Good point, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there is.
There's a way.
Yeah. Is Jericho giving you all our secrets?
No. I've studied this stuff to a degree, you know? And like, I've read Ric Flair's book.
So you're wondering,
how do you, like, signal. I mean, it seemed like you could get really hurt wrestling, because wrestling, although it was forced to be called entertainment,
right,
it is very much a physically dangerous, real. It's athletic.
Right,
it's dangerous.
Yes, sir. Yep.
You can't, like my friend Matt Frayne, shout out Matt, him and his brother were trying to recreate a match between Jericho and I think The Undertaker or someone in their living room when they were kids. And his brother suplexed him and broke both his collarbones.
Well, that can,
you know.
Well, that's,
and
well,
I actually sent Jericho a text about that. But like,
I've suplexed Jericho and almost broke both his collarbones, and that's true. In a bad ring, board popped in a ring in Philadelphia. I was wrestling Chris,
right,
and you know we wrestled a lot, and we were wrestling, you know, in ECW back in the day, and
right,
the board, one of the boards popped in the middle of the ring, so the canvas stayed, and just it was like a, like a speed bump in the ring.
Jesus.
And it's
Christ.
Wood. And yeah, we had to do these suplexes in there. And I'm like, God, Chris. And I was trying to protect him. And it was just like, I'm drilling him on his shoulders on this thing. But he's right, tough. So he handled it.
You did the dragon, right?
I did all different variations.
Right.
Dragon suplex. And that move, it was just a back suplex. Yeah.
Right,
waist lock
right,
suplex.
Right. So
German suplex.
Right. So, like, how, when you're back to the original question, since I'm interviewing you.
Yes, you are interviewing me. He's got a wrestling question.
I like to take over.
That's fine. You can take
this
over.
This is the D. Randall Bly takeover on the Taz Show. Thank you very much. It's the morning zoo. When you're wrestling a Japanese guy who doesn't, did you wrestle guys who didn't speak English?
Of course, yeah, many times.
How do you work that out, man?
You don't. No,
that sounds really bad.
I'm serious, and that's why I said I kind of tangled up with a guy and banged him out a little bit. I roughed him up because there was a miscommunication in a spot in a match, and because of the communication issue, there was none.
Right.
And he kicked me in the face, and my teeth went through the bottom of my lip, like...
All right, here. I got that too.
I had this little patch here because I had a scar here because I got
stitched
up.
Same spot.
Same deal, right?
Same exact spot.
So you got the patch too. So what happens is he kicked me in the face. I went out of the ring and I had to pull my mouth, my lip over my teeth.
Sure.
And I got in the ring and beat the fuck out of him. So what? And that's the truth. And I never got booked for that promotion again.
They never
brought me back. But I digress. So what happens is, the communication thing, it works like this. Like, so. The first time I ever wrestled in Japan, I was green as grass. I was still a young American.
Are you the heel?
I was a heel, yeah, of course. Yeah, I was American. And I got to Japan, and we landed in Narita, got there late. They had some minivan bring us to this shitty arena and go in there, and I had to wrestle some guy. And this is the thing, Randy. They keep the Americans and the Japanese in two separate locker rooms.
That's a bad idea.
It is. But they're trying to protect the integrity, to protect the business.
Oh, sure.
They don't want the good guys in the back of the American. And even on the tours, you go, the Japanese have their own bus, the Americans have their own bus.
And you guys don't communicate.
We don't see these guys. We're not allowed to go in the same gyms, different hotels. Now, I haven't been there, wrestled there in several years. I haven't been there.
Right.
I don't know if it's changed. I doubt it. They're very much into tradition and protecting the business. So I was never, ever in my life in a locker room with Japanese wrestlers. Because
that's
I'm American.
Crazy.
Yeah, man. And so there was. So, you know, sometimes.
Man, like before you would wrestle Jericho. I mean, it's
not a different story. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
I'm going
yeah,
to a
yeah,
Waffle
yeah.
House with him. You know
yeah, exactly.
And I'm probably buying. yeah, no, I'm joking. No, yeah, it's different stories. More communication. You know, you're right. American, you know, and you guys are, you know, trying to put a good show on.
Right.
It's physical, obviously. But in Japan, man, it's a totally different deal. I mean, it's because it's not just the communication, they want to make it. The office, I think, not that they want to make it difficult. They want to see, if you're a pro,
right?
You shouldn't have to go, like you're a singer, okay?
Yes.
You probably can go on stage impromptu with some other metal band.
Right now.
If it wasn't Lamb of God, whoever, and they say, let's do whatever song, and you know the lyrics, you could do that song with that band.
I do it all the time.
That's my point. Yeah. Same with us, bro.
Yeah.
It's the same shit.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. If I'm a pro, I should be able to get in a ring with you, him, or him, and work a match without ever talking to him. Because there's little tricks.
Right.
Which I can't. You know, it's like...
I'm not going to ask you.
I can't
you.
Do that.
I'm not going to ask
I know you're interviewing me, but I can't do that, Randy. No, but I'm going to read your book. I know you're mad at me. I didn't read Flair's, and I have to read Flair's book.
Yes.
But I will read your book.
Woo! I just love doing that. Our fans love doing that.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Well, so look, so you got the summer's busy for you.
Yes.
Obviously with the book, and then you guys are going on tour and stuff.
Right.
So, you got. You, I mean, does it ever get old for you? You just keep rolling, right?
I mean, you get tired. I mean, you did.
Oh, same deal, man.
I mean, but you're talking about professionalism. I mean, I love my job. I love playing with my band.
Yeah.
You know, I'm honest with our fans, and sometimes they don't like that because, like, it'll be hours before the show, and I'll be out at Barnes & Noble getting my whatever nerd material I'm getting in a coffee.
Cool. Yeah.
And people will see me, and the show isn't for, like, 8 hours, and they're like, dude, are you excited for tonight?
Yeah,
I look at them, and I say, do you want me to tell you what you want to hear?
Yeah, exactly.
Or do you want me to tell you the truth?
It's work.
And they'll say, 99% of the time, they'll say, we want the truth.
Mm.
And then immediately they will regret it. Because I will look at them and I will say, not at all.
I am
not excited right now one fucking bit. I've been up 1 hour. I want to drink my coffee. I want to read this book. The last thing I want to do is scream heavy metal. I just fucking woke up. I don't even know what city I'm in.
That's great stuff.
Right?
That happens.
And
then,
at me and they're like, oh, shit.
What a letdown.
What a bummer. Because, and I understand, but see, they've been anticipating
right,
this.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For like months, they've spent their hard-earned money.
Yeah, of course.
For
me,
I'm just waking up and it's another day.
It's another day at the office.
And then I tell them, though, and then normally this will make them happy. I say, when I walk on stage, I will be excited because that's the truth.
Well, you turn it on.
I don't have to turn it on.
I'm saying the light goes on.
It comes on.
That's what I'm saying.
And then as soon, but the second it's weird. I don't get excited until I scream the first note.
Mm.
I'm not even excited when I walk on stage.
No. Yeah.
Like
years of experience.
But that only takes about 15 seconds.
Right,
so
I walk on
stage, scream the first note, then I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I honestly am every time.
Dude, you
very
get exhausted,
excited.
Though, after these shows. I've watched, I mean, you bust your ass out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're working hard.
So I tell them this.
No, but you're downplaying that. You really do. You're working your ass off on stage. I mean, you're like, yeah.
Well,
that,
dude.
That's a lot of work, man.
The guys I looked up to were front men of bands like the Bad Brains, the Jesus Lizard, and from this guy used to play in New York a lot. This guy Iggy Pop.
Iggy Pop, yeah.
He's fucking nuts.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
You go see him like now. He's old, and it's like, holy shit, I'm tired watching
this. Yeah.
So, you know, I tell the 99%, I tell them the truth, and they're like, oh man. And I'm like, but I'm going to be excited tonight.
Right.
But then the ones that say, we want you to tell me what we want to hear.
Mm.
Then I go fucking nuts. And I start screaming in public and make them uncomfortable. I'm like, like, I cannot fucking wait. I haven't slept for a week. I've been sitting up thinking about tonight. I haven't eaten. I've been thinking about this. I had dreams about you, bro. Tonight I am pumped up. Let's break some shit. Let's do this right now. I can't wait. Woo! You know?
Well,
and then you turn it on.
You definitely turn it on.
And they're even more uncomfortable. And they're like, whoa.
I'm uncomfortable. Yeah. That was great,
start
bro.
Start flipping shit.
Could you imagine? We did the 30-minute interview. Imagine you did that for 30 minutes. You probably could do that.
I actually have, not to though.
But thank you. Anyway,
so I think someone's walking around outside. They're like,
"What's going on there?"
For the fans, if you want, you know, when I ask you, do you want the truth or do you want me to tell you what you want to hear?
Yeah,
that's what you're going to get.
Feel,
you know, I'll be real excited for you.
That was great, man. Well, look it, bro. I appreciate you coming on here.
Thank you so much.
And I really do. And much success with Dark Days, your book hitting it in July in the summer, and you guys rocking it with Slipknot. That's going to be great. So all your fans are going to follow you. So
if you're in New York City, stop by and see my gallery exhibit.
Yes.
At Sacred Gallery. It's the intersection of Broad and Canal. Sacred Gallery. It's attached to a tattoo shop. It'll be up through June 30th. It's free. You cheap fuckers. So
a lot of cheap bastards. All my people are cheap, so it's perfect.
It's free.
Yeah, it's free. Podcast is free.
There's even some. I know. I love podcasts.
Do you?
That's
cool. Yeah, I probably have the best one out there in any genre. I'm just letting you know that. So you're kind of lucky, bro.
Cool.
So
I feel blessed.
All right, man.
Royalty.
You're the man, brother.
All right.
I appreciate you, man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll be right back here on a Human Podcast Machine. That was Randy Bly of Lamb of God. We will be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, check it out.
Boys and girls, pull up your stools. It is now time for Taz Tales.
All right, so here we go. This is a very unique Taz tale I'm going to lay down for you guys because this is the first time ever that there's going to be another voice in the Taz tale. So please, everyone, I bring to you WWE Hall of Famer, multi-time World Heavyweight Champion, the bestseller himself, Mick Foley. Mick, what's up, man?
Hey, Taz. Great to be sharing a Taz tale. I consider it an honor.
Well, you should, because this doesn't happen much. No, I'm joking. So, all right, look, we're going to go back in time here, bro, and the first time that I've really ever met you or ever gotten a ring with you, I was a young wrestler also at Johnny Rods' school, wrestling school in Brooklyn, and there were several of us younger wrestlers in their training. I was probably the senior student at that time. I maybe had 8, 9 months, 11 months, whatever it was, in the business. And Johnny, for those that didn't know, back then, he was hooked into a lot of different Northeast promoters, like in New England especially, a guy named Tom Jeanette, who was running a lot of shows in the Northeast. I guess today, Mick, they would call them independent shows.
Right.
And I'm assuming you, Mick Foley, wanted to get booked on so many shows because this is before you made it or I made it. And so at times, younger wrestlers that wanted to get booked on Johnny's shows would come into Johnny's school to like a tryout. And you, Mick, were one of those guys. So you remember that time, of course.
I do, because I was a DiNucci guy. I was trained in
Pittsburgh,
and a lot of my, the first dozen matches were like Ohio, West Virginia, Western Pennsylvania, and then I moved. That was a long drive, so I was back in Long Island. My dad was the athletic director at Ward Melville High School, and he'd gotten a flyer from Jeanette, and so I had called and told him I was a wrestler looking for work, and he said, I only hire guys that Johnny Rods approves, and I took that trip to Brooklyn.
That's it.
Middle of the summer, and had a series of matches, right? Like, 10 minutes, one after another. I believe it was about 40 straight minutes, including they were twin brothers.
Tall guys.
Not the Sontags.
Not the Sontags, right.
Twins. And you and I were in there, and I mean, unless I'm, not remember correctly, it seemed like I was like, everyone was working well,
Oh, it was great. It was great. We were working well. And just so, again, I think also, I don't know if you knew this, DiNucci and Johnny Rods were good friends. And I think it wasn't just the Jeanette connection to Johnny Rods. It was, I think DiNucci, was in your corner, said to Johnny, hey, this is my guy, that type thing. Did you know that or not?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I did not know that. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But we both remember the moment.
Oh, yeah, I remember the moment.
During like about 25 or 20 minutes into these 40 minutes in ring, I'm delivering a couple kicks.
Stomps.
And Johnny stomps, and Johnny stopped me. He said, wait, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm giving a kick. And he said, what foot are you using? I said, my left. And he said, you don't kick with your left.
Yes,
left
you don't
foot.
You don't kick with your left. What are you doing?
And I hadn't heard that before, hadn't heard it since. Oh. And continued wrestling, thought we did pretty well.
Yeah.
Shook hands with everybody, left. And now you fill in the key line here.
That's great.
Delivered after I left.
I mean, so this gym, this was before Johnny's dojo. His gym was at Gleason's gym. This was before Gleason's, folks. This was way before Gleason's. And it was in South Brooklyn. I don't remember where. It was a train trestle that would look out the window of the ring. You couldn't hit the ring, that side of the rope, because you'd go through the window and hit the train trestle. That's the truth. You remember, Mick. So what happens is there was these stairs, a real old, gritty, stinky, pissy-smelling building. You had to walk up these steps to get to the ring, to the gym area. I swear to you, folks, I don't think Mick Foley was down the steps when he was done working out. John's like, oh, thanks a lot, man. Say goodbye to the boys. And Mick was a baby face. Everybody got along great. Mick, I don't think your feet hit the floor at the bottom of the staircase. Johnny buries you and says, boys, I hope you all just saw what happened there. And we're looking around. And he goes, he looks at me. I'm the seeing guy. He goes, you know what's going to happen to that guy right there? I go, what? Because he's not going to make a dime in this business. I go, what? He goes, he stomps with his left foot. He goes, there's nobody ever going to book this guy. He stomps with his left foot. I'm thinking to myself, I wasn't going to be disrespectful to Johnny. I'm like, I don't know. He was pretty freaking good to me. I don't care about what foot he was. This guy could, for a big dude, was a good worker. And all the boys are looking around like, I don't know, Johnny. This guy was pretty good. And so that was basically the punchline is you were not going to make it. And you know how it is when your wrestling trainer tells you something, you believe it's the gospel.
Johnny's he was a respected,
credible guy.
Yeah. Like I'm glad I wasn't there for that,
Me too.
Just like I'm glad I wasn't there at the booking meeting in late 95 where Vince slammed his hand down on the table and said, "All right, I'll bring him in, but I'm covering up his face."
I never heard that. That's great. That's funny, man. Oh, jeez. Yeah, so you never had a problem again with this whole left foot gimmick, right?
Never mentioned again, and the stomps, it was part of my limited offense. Yeah.
You ended up making a couple of dimes after this. So it wasn't a dime. You made a couple.
I did okay, man. I'll tell you just one other quick story. That Johnny wasn't the first or the last guy. Even when I was doing fairly well, I was leaving the world-class territory. Only guy to ever give a two-month notice because he had a broken wrist that wouldn't heal. That was a two-month notice.
Wow, that's unheard of. That's unheard of.
I think kept getting worse. After 10 weeks, I'd gone from like a brace to a cast, and it's up to my elbow. It's not healing, and I give a two-month notice. So Frank Dusick was he was in the office at the time, from a wrestling family, and he wasn't burying me. He was going, "Are you sure you want to do this?" I said, "Yeah, Frank, I feel like I need to go do something else." He goes, "Listen, you got a home here." He goes, "You're never going to be a top guy." He goes, "You're always going to be bottom of the top, top of the bottom." He said, "But you're never going to be a top guy." And I saw him in Greensboro, North Carolina in 1999 when I was working with Stone Cold. On top of the pay-per-view. And I just said, and I always liked Frank. I said, hey, Frank, how are you doing? And I hadn't seen him in a long time. I said, "Do you remember what you told me when I left World Class?" He goes, "Oh, what did I say?" And I laid out the story, and he got down on his knees, and he started genuflecting, and he got up and goes, "Brother, I've never been so happy to be wrong about something."
Oh, that's cool. That's nice to hear. Listen, man, there's something about that. My career, any of the success I had has been built on kind of what you just said, motivation of people not believing in me. And unfortunately, the guy who trained me the right way, Johnny Rods, but he told me the same thing. He told me I'd be lower mid-card. He said, he did, bro. He said, "You're never going to make it because you're undersized like me. You're going to be putting guys over your whole life." And I'm like, I said, "Well, thank you for cementing my fate." I mean, and that motivated, that pissed me off and motivated me. I just thought that was just crazy. I thought fans would want to hear that Mick Foley will never, ever make a dime because he stomped with his left foot. How dare you, Mick? Put the Danucci tissue.
Yeah. Never before, never since. And apparently there's a network for an undisclosed monthly sum where people can go back and look at me stomping with my left foot.
All right. Oh, that's good stuff. Nice plug, kind of, not really, but funny. all right, Mick, I appreciate you being on this Taz Tale. And remember, any young wrestlers out there, guys or gals, do not stomp with your left foot. You'll make no money.
All right. Welcome back. That's what they call a wrap. Put it in the can. It's done, baby. I want to thank my special guest, Randy Bly from Lamb of God. I don't want to apologize again. I kept calling him Randy Blythe. What a jabroni. It's Randy Bly. So thank you. It was a great interview. It was a lot of fun chatting up with him. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Definitely an in-depth, autistic fella for sure. And make sure you check out his book, Dark Days, coming out in July. Also want to thank Hall of Famer, the great Mick Foley, jumping in with this Taz Tale we laid down for you. Be careful of that left foot. Watch your left foot. God. All right, and thank you, all of you, obviously, for supporting HPM and everything I'm doing here. A lot of you guys are asking about Taz Live, when they're coming back. Take a little longer than we thought. Sit tight. There's a lot of chatter going on. lot of corporate stuff going on, and yours truly is in the middle of it a little bit, so sit tight on that. Things are looking pretty good, so be patient. Still dropping loads of podcasts. Hardest working man in the biz, you know that. So thank you guys for supporting everything that I'm doing here, and I appreciate it big time. I am Taz. You are not. Till next time, see ya.